Just to set the record straight, I'm a sinner saved by grace. That's it's my only claim to being here or any other house or any other pulpit. I have been the recipient of incredible mercy. If God would have dealt with me in the manner that I deserved, I would be without hope. All of us tonight would be in that condition if the Lord dealt with us in the manner we deserve. But thank God for the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You may be seated. Thank God for Pastor Tim DeLena and his lovely wife Cindy and their family. The wonderful pastor that God has given to this church with a burden to reach 1 billion souls in our generation. I don't know any other person that's ever had a burden like that. Maybe God does. And he's imparted it to Pastor Tim, and he's had the courage to embrace it and to speak it, and we stand with him. We stand with him. I would rather stand on the side of faith than die on the side of unbelief. I don't know about you. I've come here to fight tonight. Come here to fight for you. I've come here to fight for souls that haven't heard the gospel yet. I've come here to fight for the fullness of what God intends each of our lives to be. He has something deeper, fuller, richer for your life than you have ever anticipated your life was going to be. All that God requires of you and I is that we believe him, we embrace what's already in his heart to do, and we begin to move towards it. I want to speak tonight a message called Waiting for the Moving of the Water. Waiting for the Moving of the Water. John chapter 5. I'm going to start there in just a moment. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for the touch of heaven tonight, the worship that's been here, the prayers for healing. Thank you for the great good that's being done here in the middle of Times Square in New York City, where so many said a church could never prosper, it couldn't thrive, it couldn't survive, it couldn't live. But God, here we are, almost 40 years later, presence of the Holy Spirit is still here, as strong, if not stronger, than ever before. God, thank you. God, thank you. God, thank you. God, thank you for all that you have done. And thank you for what's in your heart to do now. Lord, you set this church here for such a time as this, just like you put Esther in the kingdom for the time in which her life had come to its fruition. Lord, we thank you, God, that the beam of this lighthouse is going out around the world. We thank you for the numbers of souls that will be touched tonight. We thank you, God, for blinded eyes that will see, wounded hearts that will be healed. Lord, through the internet, God, stretch out your hand tonight. Let the poor of the treasure of heaven preach to them and receive Lord Jesus Christ. Set the captives free. God, do miracles tonight, absolute miracles. Lord, we settle for nothing less. We don't have to settle for anything less than you stretching out your hand and doing what you have always done throughout history. Thank you tonight for what you're going to do in every heart, everyone who's listening, in Jesus' name, amen. Waiting for the moving of the water, John chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well and took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. Picture the scene that Jesus Christ walks into. These are the people of God. This is what was supposed to be the testimony of God's glory and presence in the earth. And yet, at this point in the history of these people, we find a pool that gets stirred up every once in a while in five different levels, five different porches facing or going on gradual decline down to that pool with a great multitude of people waiting for the stirring of the water so that they can have a chance for a miracle. And I'm thinking about the multitudes now in the generation that we're now living in that are waiting for something to happen, some kind of a miracle that will set them free, something that can only come from God, something that they have heard about has happened to others in the past. Now, these people knew the history of their own people. They knew the miracles of God. They knew about the miraculous deliverances out of captivity and such like, and the miracles that God had done over the multitudes of years. And here they are waiting one more time, a multitude. Now, I did an AI search online, and I want to read to you some statistics that are, I think are going to shock some of us that are here today. These are statistics from the year 2024. In 2024, an estimated 23.4% of U.S. adults, over 60 million people in this country right now, are experiencing some form of mental illness. The crisis remained particularly pressing for youth, with 15.4% of adolescents, that's young people aged 12 to 17, experiencing major depressive episodes. Over one in four adults reporting unmet mental health treatment. 23.4% of adults, that's the equivalent of 61.5 million Americans, are suffering from mental illness right now. 14.6 million people in America are suffering from severe mental disorders. 5.04% of adults, nearly 13 million people, reported serious thoughts of suicide. More than 45 million adults experienced a concurrent substance abuse disorder. 15.4% of youth ages 12 to 17 experienced a major depressive episode. 11.3% of youth, that's 2.8 million young people in this country, had major depressive episodes that severely disrupted their daily functioning. More than 3.4 million young people, that's 13.16% of the population of young people in this country, reported serious thoughts of suicide. Worldwide, the World Health Organization reports that roughly 1 in 8 people globally, that's over 1 billion people, live with a mental health condition. Don't try to tell me there's not a multitude one more time waiting for the stirring of the water. A multitude hoping for a better day, a multitude hoping for a miracle perhaps in their life that has happened in somebody else's life. We're not aware sometimes of how many people are crying out for mercy in this generation. That's why my prayer now is, God, it is time for you to act, for they have made void your law. It is time for you, Lord, to take your right hand out of your bosom and show your power again to another generation. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of a powerless presentation of Jesus Christ in my generation. And I have yielded my body, I've yielded my life, my future, whatever my codiums of strength that I have left in this physical body, I've given it to God. Lord Jesus Christ, I want to see your name honored again in this generation. I want to see you working with power among the people. It's not enough for multitudes just to hope for some shred of hope. This poor man was there for 38 years, hoping for beyond hope every day. Coming, crawling, I don't know how he got there, just hoping that somehow the healing that he heard about had transpired in somebody else's life could maybe eventually be his. And I see multitudes again in our generation waiting for what has happened in the past to happen again. In America, there have been past seasons where genuine healing evangelists were raised up and stirring people of their times to believe that they could be healed of whatever affliction they had. These evangelists were messengers. Remember, it said every once in a while, a messenger would come down, an angel would come down, which means messenger, and stir the water in the pool and cause people to believe that they could be healed. And whoever got there first experienced the healing of God. Stirring the water. God Almighty, stir the water again, is the cry of my heart. Oh, Jesus, don't let my words be just lukewarm that come out of my mouth. When I speak, Lord, to people who are suffering from depression, stir the water in them. Let the water that comes from my mouth, the word of God that comes from me, stir them to believe that they can be healed. And God, I know that you will not disappoint, because you declare yourself to be the father to the fatherless. You're the husband to the widow. You're the defender of those that don't have anybody to defend them. You're the one who provides for those who are poverty stricken and can't get out of their situation. God, that's who you are, and that's who I'm asking you to be in my life. That's, God, who I'm asking you to be in your church one more time before you come, because, folks, we are living in the last days. We are living in the days just prior to the return of Jesus Christ. I was in a meeting one time years ago in a dinner, and a man sitting next to me showed me a card, and on the card it said he was legally blind, but he didn't even wear glasses. And his vision was better than mine. And I said, but this card says that you're blind. He said, I was blind. I said, what happened to you? He said, it was in the early 70s. A friend of mine invited me to a healing crusade that was happening in some arena somewhere. And this was in Canada. And he said, I wasn't a Christian. And I went there and I was sitting there. He said, I was blind. I couldn't see anything. And then suddenly he said, very, very gradually, as the word of God was being preached, suddenly I saw like a dim light, and then I started to see shadows, and then I started to see figures, then it started to clear, and then suddenly I knew, I can see. I could see. Oh, God. Oh, God, do that again. Oh, God, let miracles begin to abound in your church as the word of God is preached. That's my prayer for Pastor Tim all the time as he speaks from this pulpit on Sunday or Tuesday, then on into countries and places around the world. Lord Jesus, start to heal as the word goes forward. We don't even need to be focused on healing. We don't even need to be speaking on healing. I asked that man, I said, where was somebody praying? He said, no, the guy was just speaking. And as he spoke, my sight just started gradually returning. God Almighty, do that again. In our story in verse 3, it says there was a great multitude of people, sick, blind, unable to see a way forward, sin sick in some cases, lame, no strength to leave where they were and to maybe embrace some future direction, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. And I do believe with all my heart, my brother, my sister, we just read the stats, a multitude are waiting again. I just got a report a couple of days ago of another young man who took his life, just a teenager. God Almighty, God Almighty, that's not right when there's a church in this country. That's not right when the word of God is still here and we have the ability to speak to these young people. We have the ability to speak with power and great grace and great authority. There's so many people with the same question that Gideon once had when the messenger of God, when the Lord himself came to Gideon. In Gideon, in chapter 6, verse 12, it says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. And Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord's with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about? Did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent you? Gideon is embracing unbelief and hopelessness, just trying to eke out a living when the word of God comes to him. And the word of God comes to him with authority and comes to him with power. And God himself says to Gideon, this is your might. I have sent you. And I'm speaking to people who are here tonight and who are listening online. In our generation, this is our might. God has sent us. God has sent us to defeat a power of evil trying to destroy an entire generation. God has sent us. God has put his hand upon us. God has given us his Holy Spirit. God has placed his word inside of each one of our hearts. This is not the time to draw back. This is the time to go into battle. This is the time to believe God. This is the time to speak with authority. This is the time to say, oh, God, speak through me. God, touch through me. God, guide my steps. Guide my thoughts, oh, Lord Jesus Christ. And when you start stirring, when you start moving through me, help me not to draw back. But, oh, God, give me the grace to speak. The same Lord appears many years later to speak with men or many who has little, if any, hope left. This man in John chapter 5 and verse 6 says, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew he'd been there in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? And the man answered and said, sir, I've got nobody to put me into the pool when the water is stirred, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me. And this man would be a man, be like a person in our generation who says, everybody has given up on me. Nobody believes that my life can ever amount to anything more than just lying on this porch and hoping for the stirring of the water and believing that maybe one day I won't be depressed, or one day I won't be drug addicted, or one day I won't be paralyzed when it comes to moving forward. One day maybe my life will matter. Everyone has given up on me, but thank God there is always one. If the whole world gives up on you, my brother, my sister, there's always one who hasn't given up on you. There's always one who has a plan, always one who sees a purpose, always one who can give you the strength to walk again in places you've never been able to walk before. Always one that's willing to give you a testimony of his power, his grace, his goodness, his glory. There's always one who will never give up on you. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. There's still one that never gives up on anyone who's created in the image of God. I don't care what you look like. It doesn't matter where you are or how you've lived or what you've done, what your present circumstance is. I'm telling you, God has a plan for your life tonight that is way beyond anything you've ever dreamt or thought was possible. There's little compassion left, he could say, among the multitudes. There's nobody. You would think by this point, everybody's aware this poor guy's been there for 38 years. You would think in that particular moment in society that somebody would be there who would say, here, go ahead. The water is stirred. Here, you've been here longer than me. You go get in. But the society was so selfish around him. Everybody's in it for themselves. Nobody cares anymore. And we're living in a day very, very much like that. A society without God is extremely selfish. Everyone is in it for themselves. The backstabbers are abounding everywhere now. People will push others out of the way to get what they want. It's only in the kingdom of God you find those who are preferring others before themselves. Sir, I've got nobody to put me in the pool. And when the water gets stirred up, when I'm trying to get down, somebody else steps in before me. Nobody's there to help him. He's all alone. He's lost. He's 38 years. He's probably on the edge of giving up, like many in America are today. With the millions, it's literally millions, contemplating taking their lives because they don't see life as worth living anymore. But this time, now the water stirs, but it's a little different than it used to be. You see, he doesn't have to crawl to the water. The water is coming to him this time. Oh, praise God. The Bible declares the word of God to be living water. Remember in Ezekiel 36, he said to his people, I will wash you with clean water. I'll bring you back out of the nations and I'll give you my spirit and I'll wash you with clean water. Now that washing is the word of God. The beauty is the word of God now comes to him. The water is stirring now, but the stirring is now within him. And suddenly he's beginning to realize that he doesn't have to crawl to the water. The water has actually come to him. And he said, rise, take up your bed and walk. Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 37, on the last day, the great day of the feast, and folks, let me say it again. I believe we're living in the last days. The events that we're seeing unfold in the Middle East, the way society is devolving around us, according to what Paul wrote in Thessalonians, we're seeing it all right before our eyes. It won't be long now. It won't be long. Christ is coming back, but he's not coming back for a defeated church. He's not coming back for an army hiding in the mountains. He's coming back for a victorious church. He's coming back for a people who are standing and speaking the word of God. He's coming back for people like you and me, not the noble, not the mighty, not the strong, but the foolish, the nobodies, the nothings, the weak of this world, people that turned to God, heard his voice, stood up. He said, stand up, take up your bed and walk. A people who took up that place that formerly wanted to paralyze them, A people that just started walking. Tonight, if you can hear the voice of God, those that are listening online, get up and get out of your captivity. Get out of your addictions. Get out of your depression. Just get up and get out. Take up your bed and walk in the name of Jesus. It was the last day, the great day of the feast, and Jesus stood and cried out. This is a passion in the heart of the Son of God. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. This is an interesting scripture. Come to me and drink. It doesn't say into his heart will flow, out of his heart. Out of his inward parts, actually another translation, out of the essence of his being will begin to flow this water that begins to stir a generation to believe that they can be healed. They can be whole. They can be free. They can have provision. They can become everything that God has destined their lives to be. But it's not a dead pool anymore that gets stirred once in a while by one messenger. Every once in a while, one angel would come down and stir the water, and whoever got in would be made whole. It's not that way now. The church has living water within her. And as that water begins to come out, it stirs the hearts and minds of people to believe that God can use their lives, God can set them free, God can give them vision again, God can take them out of their poverty, God can break their addictions, God can give them a reason to live, God can give them giftings of the Holy Spirit. God can take them and make them into what only God can make them into. Take up your bed and walk, Jesus said. This is the call of the last days. One more time, on the last day, the great day of the feast. Oh, it's been a feast since the day of Pentecost. It's been a feast of the Word of God. It's been a feast of the presence of God, the Spirit of God. But it's the last day of the feast, folks. It's the last day of all the religious exercises, all the songs that we've sung, all the places we've gone to, all the conventions and conferences we've attended. It's the last day when Jesus is crying one more time, if anyone thirsts. I don't know about you, but oh God, I thirst. I thirst for his presence. I thirst for his Holy Spirit. I thirst for his name to be glorified again in this generation. I thirst for the addicted, the afflicted, the marginalized, the depressed, the nobodies, the nothings, the suicidal, to find life in Christ Jesus. God has imparted to me the same thirst that is in his own heart. I feel the thirst of God, and I feel the thirst for God. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Oh, God. Oh, God. Don't let us settle for mediocrity now. Living water. It's speech that is initiated by the Spirit of God. It's based on the Word of God. And it stirs the hearers to believe they can be healed. I want you to think about that for a moment. It's speech, I'm going to say it again, initiated by the Spirit of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, according to the Word of God. And as we speak, it causes the hearers to believe they can be healed. They can be free. They can see. Their hearts, their bruised hearts can be healed. Their captivity will have to let them go. It causes the hearer to believe that not only can they be set free from this place of impotence by this pool, but they can actually take up their bed and walk and start to become a living testimony of who God is through his Son, Jesus Christ. It's speech. You see, we're not relegated by God to be an argument about the existence of God. I'm not demeaning that. That's necessary at times. But we're called to be a demonstration of the reality of God, the power of God, the presence of God, the willingness of God to inhabit frail humanity and let his power be made known through us. This is the kingdom of God. This is the church of Jesus Christ. This is our purpose on the earth. And by the grace of Almighty God, we will fulfill it. I know some people like to say the church is a hospital. I don't particularly like that. I think the church is an army. I really do. I think the church is a place where we learn how to fight for something bigger than ourselves. We learn how to fight for the glory of God and for the souls of men. We learn to stand. It doesn't matter what our education is or is not, whether our abilities are or they are not. We have living water within these earthen vessels. We get up and we speak what God gives us to speak. And when we speak, miracles start to happen. Lives start to be transformed. Situations start to change. Captivity is taken captive. Isn't that the Bible say that's what our warfare is? Bringing every thought that stands in disobedience to Christ into the obedience of God? Aren't the weapons of our warfare not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ? I don't know about you, but I'm not willing to live beneath my inheritance. I read these statistics of these people, 1 in 8, 1 billion people in this world suffering from depression, and I thank God that Pastor Tim has a burden to reach them. And I hope you get behind him with everything that's in your heart. 1 in 4 adults in the United States suffering from mental health issues. 61.5 million Americans. 14.6 million experiencing severe mental health disorders. 13 million adults contemplating suicide. 15.4% of youth ages 12 to 17 experience depression. And 3.4 million youth thinking today about suicide. 3.4 million youth. Not on my watch. No, sir. Not on my watch. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. I was speaking at a youth rally, Upper State, New York, a week and a half ago. And I have a kind of a form of malaria that comes on me every once in a while. I caught it about 15 years ago in Africa. And about every 2 months, I'll have a 5-day bout or brain fog and vision fog and headaches and dizziness and stuff like that. And it hit me the day before this quite serious, large outreach in the hundreds of kids. And I'm sitting in my seat, and I'm thinking, I'm here to fight. I'm not here to worry about how I'm feeling. I don't care. I'm just going to kick the sides out of hell tonight. That's what I felt. I'm just going to get up and kick the sides right out of hell. I don't care if I have to hang on to the pulpit to stand straight. And I got up with a word from God and preached, and when I gave that altar call to surrender to Christ, that you couldn't even get through the crowd of young people that were there on their knees crying before God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's time to fight. It's time to stand. It's time to speak. It's not time to nurse our wounds. It's not time to sit at home and worry about our struggles and all of our trials. And we've all got them, and we're all going to have them until Christ returns. No, 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 no. I want a bigger vision than me. I want to see God working. I want to see the heart of God satisfied. I want to see young people come to Christ. I want these people who are on the edge of suicide not just to not take their lives, but to give their lives to Jesus Christ and find a reason to live on this earth. I don't care if I have to fight hell to get there. It's worth the fight. It's worth standing. It's worth speaking to these young people. Rise up, Church of God. Rise up, body of Christ. Take up your bed and walk. I don't care what your problem has been. Take up your bed and walk. Get out of your addiction. Get out of your depression. Get out of your weakness. Get out of your poverty. Take up your bed and walk. And walk and become a living testimony of the reality of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Glory to the name of Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. I'm sorry if I'm shouting at you tonight, but I can't help myself. It's time, folks. It's time, it's time, it's time. We used to sing this old-time song in the church. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. opens prison doors, sets the captive free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here's my altar call tonight. Here it is, plain and simple. I'm not laying here anymore. I'm here, God. And I hear God's got a bigger purpose for me than just laying here waiting for my healing. No. I don't have to get to the water. The water has come to me. Hallelujah. Something had to stir in that man. He'd been 38 years lying down. You understand? 38 years he couldn't walk, but the living water stirred him. I don't know how he got up. I don't know if it leapt to his feet or it's a 7-stage. Like when I do sit-ups, it's 7 complete distinct moves to get back on my feet again now. I used to be able to jump up. I can't do that anymore. I counted them actually one day. I don't know how he got up, but I know he got up. And he tucked his bed under his arm. And I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captive free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Sing it again. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captive free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well, within my soul. Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, and give to me. If you're here tonight and you want to take up your bed and walk, this is the time. If you feel a stirring of God, you feel the Holy Spirit just stirring you, say, God, I've been addicted long enough. I've been depressed long enough. I've been down long enough. I'm done with this. I'm coming home. I'm getting up and I'm going to take up my bed and I'm going to walk and I'm going to make a difference. I'm not going to focus on myself from here on in. I'm just going to walk with that bed under my arm and I'm going to be a testimony. Jesus is the one who healed my life. If that's you tonight, come on down here and we're going to pray together. Just come on. Come on down. Take up your bed and walk. Come on. Take up your bed and walk. You're going to get set free here. You're going to get set free here. You're going to get touched by God. You're going to get empowered here. Just come. Just come. Whatever your struggle is, just bring it here now and get prepared to walk with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We should sing that again. Can we do that?
I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captive free.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for the people that have made the choice to get up and leave behind what needs to be left behind. Because there's new life in you. There's freedom in you, Lord. And there's divine purpose. So I thank you that what you're doing tonight, God, will not be rescinded. It will not be turned back. Nobody will have to go and lay down by that pool again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, tonight for breaking addictions. Addictions of the mind, addictions of the body. I thank you for breaking addictions because you said the anointing of the Spirit will set the captive free. I thank you, God, for giving sight to blinded eyes, for people who have not been able to see a way forward or a purpose for their lives. I thank you, Lord, as you gave that man sight, you're doing that again tonight. You're giving sight to those who can't see. They don't see themselves the way you do, God. But tonight you'll give them your eyes. They'll begin to see a way forward and a future. I thank you, Lord, for healing those whose hearts have been bruised and wounded, and the enemy has had them laying down by a pool hoping for a miracle moment when their heart won't ache any longer. Tonight I ask you to heal them, and they would take up their bed and just walk. I ask you for giftings of the Holy Spirit to be given, words of wisdom, words of knowledge. I ask you, Lord Jesus Christ, to put power in their speech, that when they speak, people will be strangely stirred and warmed and suddenly desire to walk with God. God Almighty, you told us it's not the mighty, it's not the noble, it's not those of royal birth. It's people like me. God, it's people who are nothing, who know they're nothing. God, you're willing to be everything to us, Lord. You're willing to flow through us and to bring healing. Use everyone at this altar to help a young person somewhere who doesn't see a reason to live. God, use them. God, speak to us as your church. We are a mighty army on the earth, oh God. Oh God, I pray that every man, every woman, every young person become a soul winner here at this altar. There's a power be given to their speech that they didn't have before. God, an ability, not an argument, just an ability to speak that stirs the heart. Living water. Out of his inward parts will flow a river of living water. Living water. Living water. Living water. Speech the way God designed it to be, intended it to be. Living water. Words of faith, words of healing, words of empowerment, words of encouragement. God, thank you. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for what you're doing here. Thank you for this altar, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you won't turn anybody away. You said, will you be made whole? Will you be made whole? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love the fact that Jesus didn't say, will you be made half? Will you be made whole? Now lift your hands to God and talk to him just for a moment. Just talk to him. Let him love you. Just thank him. Thank him for taking you out of wherever you've been in. Thank him for victory tonight. Thank him. Thank him. Let faith stir in your heart. We are the church. This is God's plan. Lord, you're going to use us to push back suicide. You're going to use us to push back the lies of the devil. You're going to use us, God. You're going to use us, oh God, in this generation to help people that don't have a helper. God Almighty, you're going to use us as living water, stirring hearts to believe that they can be healed and saved. Father, thank you, God. 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 We're early tonight, so maybe we could worship for 10 minutes or so. Let's take time. Don't rush out of God's presence tonight. Take time. Take time.